We are dealing with looking at life through God's eyes and living life through God's word. Basically, we're saying all that we as Christian ought to be doing is we've got to trust God and obey his word. And the question that is often asked, who am I and what am I called to do? And so today, specifically from the passage in Ephesians chapter 6, as a Christian, I am called to acknowledge gospel partners. So I'm going to read verses 21. It's a very, very short passage, verses 21 to 24, and then we'll get going. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Friends, let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that your word speaks louder than anything we can say. So I pray that the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our counselor, our leader, our guide, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us, that we may listen to your word. Not just hear it, but listen to it, so that we can apply it to our hearts and live it out in our Christian lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, many years ago, many years ago, Bishop Bell, who is now retired, raised the idea of twinning at our synod, our general synod, where all rich South Africa churches from around the country and internationally as well gather once a year to discuss matters pertaining to the denomination. Twinning was a concept where churches that are impoverished, struggling, and without resources and proper infrastructure would partner with a local church to help them develop and build. In fact, that is how a number of our buildings around here came to fruition, because of a partnership, because of Christians, individual Christians who love Jesus so much. And now, the idea was that the haves will assist the have-nots. And the thing is, it did not take off. That concept did not take off as expected. However, we have recently developed the idea of partnership. The same kind of twinning idea through genuine relationship building, and many of our KZN churches have come on board. For example, Christchurch Hilton has partnered with a few rural churches in Sweetwaters to help the minister with their office and access to office equipment. Then we have Christchurch Pietermaritzburg, who has partnered with many of our rural churches in Midilovo and Pietermaritzburg Township churches with a similar involvement. I mean, can you believe it? Here we come, everything looks so fantastic, but there, people have to gather. The roof, there's holes in the roof, it's cold, there's very little is done to the church. It's very, very cold. And so, on rainy days, water literally comes down through the roof. And so we've partnered with people, churches like that, and other churches have put in money, put a roof for those people so that they can listen to God's word without difficulty. And this partnership has helped struggling ministers and churches build confidence, build the church. build the people to do the work of the ministry. Now, here in Pinetown, Christchurch Pinetown, Christchurch Amshlanga, Christchurch Newlands, there are similar partnerships. Christchurch Pinetown partners with St. Stephen's Claremont. Christchurch Amshlanga partners with Christchurch Kwamashu. And they've helped with putting up a roof in Tongati, right in the rural areas. And Christchurch Newlands now are doing a similar partnership with Calvary Assembly Chatsworth. And that's where John is presently. As I speak, he is ministering there. So we've partnered so that we can help churches that are struggling without a minister or struggling just in terms of infrastructure and resources. Now, you may ask the question, what has this to do with the Bible text, Bishop Raj? If you look at verse 23, you will notice there, Paul names Tychicus as a gospel worker and partner. Tychicus has been converted under Paul's ministry and has labored with Paul in reaching out to the people wherever Paul was called to minister. Now, what do we know about Tychicus? It is like asking, what do we know about XYZ? Either in this church or outside of this church or wherever you may find Christians. And perhaps you may want to fill in the blank in terms of putting your name in. What do we know about you as a Christian? And Jesus said, my sheep, I know them. When I call them by name, they listen to my voice and follow. We read the Old Testament reading in terms of Ezekiel talking about sheep. And clearly, the Lord is speaking about his sheep. And he says, I know you. I know the weak sheep and I know the strong sheep. And I know how the weak sheep struggle against the strong sheep, and the strong sheep, how they butt them and all that kind of thing. Now, what we call in theology an allegory or a story that basically shows you within the context of farming, this is what really happens with sheep. And yet, we as Christians are called sheep. And you get the stronger ones, you know, butting the weaker ones, and God says, I will judge between the weak sheep and the strong sheep. God knows the sheep. Jesus says, I know my sheep by name. You are not a stat in the computer. You know, the local elections are coming up now, and you'll find that your name is recorded. If you have registered to vote, your name is recorded, but you are a stat in a computer. They don't care about you. All they care about is your vote. They don't pick up the phone and ask you, how are you doing? Okay? But Jesus cares. Jesus knows about you. He knows you by name. And he understands you inside out. Now, the question is, should pastors know their congregation? Should pastors know their members? Of course they should. Jesus set the standard. You may ask the pastors, and they will tell you what they know about each one of you spiritually and practically as well. You see, pastors ought to take a deep interest in the spiritual lives of their congregation. They're not just there to come and fill the seat and occupy a seat and just come and listen to you and then pay the tithes or give the offering and go. There should be a deeper interest in terms of how they're doing spiritually. So we ought to know something of the caliber of men and women who fellowship here, not only in Christchurch Newlands, but in the Church of Jesus Christ. If we don't know you, then there may be several reasons for that. Perhaps you have closed yourself from people getting to know you. Perhaps you don't want pastors and leaders to get close to you, and you keep them at arm's length, because you don't want to be responsible or accountable. Perhaps you are an introvert, and it's hard for you to socialize and get pastors and leaders to peek into your life. Now, when we look at the relationships in the Bible, friends, it is always authentic. It is genuine. And it is transparent. We don't hide things from one another. It's absolutely transparent. When it comes to spiritual matters, we must be transparent. And Paul reports on the various people that sends greetings in his letters. You'll notice that in Romans 16, and you will pick that up from verses 1 to 15. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you'll see Paul basically commends a lot of people there. He speaks about Phoebe, who is a deacon of the church I didn't read that out. He speaks about Greek Priscilla and Aquila. They are a couple, co-workers. Then there are others. I don't know why the screen is blinking at me. But you see there, it's Epaphroditus. There's Mary, Andronicus, Junia. All right, maybe the screen doesn't want me to read all those names. But anyway, basically, those are the names of people that Paul connected with. As a pastor, he knew them. And probably Paul had traveled through many countries, met many people, and the people that stood out for him are the people that were absolutely committed, totally dedicated, and were partners in the gospel of this ministry. That's why he singles them out and he names them. And says, these are the men, these are the women that partnered with me in the gospel. But notice in Ephesians, Paul only mentions just one man, and his name is Tychicus. Who is Tychicus? Well, you will see that Tychicus, as we know, is a person who was a dear brother and a faithful servant. Have a look at verse 21 of chapter 6. It says that Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Isn't that wonderful? To know the Apostle Paul's heart, how it is ticking. What is it that really troubles him? What is it that really concerns him? What is it that really drives him? What is his passion? Tychicus was such a person that knew the Apostle Paul, and Paul is saying, this man will tell you how we are. Absolute transparency. One can feel the close connection that Paul had with Tychicus and Tychicus had with Paul. You'll also notice that Tychicus is also mentioned in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. I'll read that. It's on the screen. It says that he was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. So clearly, Tychicus, he's mentioned in several parts of the Bible because he was a traveling companion of Paul, but he also knew Paul intimately and personally. He's part of a team of six elders who were responsible for different churches that Paul had planned and established. And they were not just traveling companions of Paul who hitched a ride simply to enjoy the cities and the cultures and the peoples whom they met. They were not on a holiday to take selfies and photographs of themselves on the waterways and the harbors and says, come, Paul, let me take a selfie of you. Let me get that stick there. Smile and click, click. That wasn't how it happened. All right? They were on a mission. They were on a task to go and evangelize the cities. And obviously, I think they probably enjoyed all the sceneries around them. But they were really there on a mission. So each elder, what were they doing with the Apostle Paul? Each elder was carrying a gift of collection or offering from their home church to give to the believers in Jerusalem that were struggling. I read that passage in 2 Corinthians about the collections. And by doing this, Tychicus and the rest of the pastors added a personal touch to the gifts that had come from their congregations. It's like me going to, one of our struggling churches in the rural parts of, KZN, and saying, this is what we as a church have collected for you. And we want to give it to you as a gift. I, as your pastor, am bringing the very heart of the people of CC Newlands to you to offer this gift to you so that you can do the work of the ministry. That is what they were doing. Now, in our Zulu churches, and I attended quite a few of their occasions and functions. And what they have within the context of the Zulu churches is a malehambe. Now, malehambe is very, very close to our Thanksgiving service or Thanksgiving that we have, day that we have. And you know that we once a year have a Thanksgiving day within our churches where we say to you, apart from your tithes and offerings that you regularly give to support the local church, won't you set aside an amount over and above your tithes and offering that the Lord sets aside in your heart? God has blessed you. Look at how God has blessed you in your life and set it aside so that we could use this for ministry within the local church and extend it abroad. And we want to do that. We want to give to missionaries. We want to give to support other churches as well. And that's what we call a thank offering. We call thanksgiving. Within the Indian context, that has been misunderstood regularly. People have Thanksgiving service after somebody dies. I don't know why. But they do that. So that is what they do. The thank offering, they come together. One church will host the malehambe. All the other churches from all over KZN will come together and they'll meet at this local church, no matter where it is, whether it is in a school, whether it is in a shanty somewhere else, they'll put a tent and they'll come together. And what they will do is this. They will start singing. And as they sing, each church will come down the aisle and they will dance. People, the singing will continue. And they'll come down. And they'll come and lay, like in the New Testament days, they come and lay the money at the apostles' feet. And the pastors will be there, and they'll basically put the money in the baskets or buckets that will be there, and they'll do that. By the end of that time, and they don't worry about time, we worry now, hey, we look at the time, we say, hey, 5 minutes past, it's gone over, my stomach is growling, I need to have lunch or something like that. They don't worry about time. They go on for hours. And so they come together and the monies are collected and it's given for that specific church. So for example, if another church wants to do that, they do the same. And that is how their partnership. And that is how they grow churches. Now friends, Tychicus was a missionary pastor at heart. And he's also mentioned in Colossians 4:7, and we see that Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. Almost the very same endearments recorded for us in Ephesians is recorded in Colossians. Paul had absolute faith in Tychicus and trusted him with his life to convey exactly what Paul wanted the churches to hear. What a messenger. What an ambassador for Christ. Now, you know, friends, Paul had someone that he could rely on. Tychicus was not just a pastor with a busy schedule in a local church. He was a man whom the apostle could depend on to send at a moment's notice. Paul knew that if he called on Tychicus, he will drop everything to help Paul with whatever he asks. Isn't that a wonderful trait to have? You know, I think it's a lovely trait to have. Dependability is a very, very good characteristic to have. Now, can you depend on someone? Or rely on someone? Paul had Tychicus. I wonder, brothers, how many of us in this church have this character trait? Am I dependable? I hope I am as your pastor. And I hope you are as an individual Christian. That your word is your bond. In other words, when you say something, you will carry it through. Don't say it simply because you want to get rid of somebody. And then you don't care because in the back of your mind you don't have any inkling to carry that through. You say it because you somehow feel that you're under pressure. Rather say no. Rather say what's in your heart. Don't say something just to please the leader or the pastor or whoever it may be. Your word must be your bond. In other words, people must not be afraid if you're a dependable person to approach you for anything, for assistance. Am I that kind of person? I must not be so busy that I cannot help a Christian brother with a genuine need. We have seen this wonderful coming together in the past couple of weeks when we were trying to get the flat ready for our students that were coming from GWC, our college. And we've seen how people came together and got that flat ready. And many of us worked together and made sure that when the students came, they arrived at a clean, good, wonderful atmosphere of a home where they can stay for a couple of days. Many of you hosted without hesitation, put your name down and said, I'll host this person for lunch. I'll host this person for supper. It's not an inconvenience, Pastor. It's not an inconvenience. It's my love towards the church. I'm not too busy to do it. I will drop everything to do that. That's what you did. And that's wonderful to see a church coming together like that. Now, friends, here is Tychicus. And it seems that Tychicus was particularly singled out as the most generous, approachable, and willing person. And he's your go-to man when you come unstuck. Tychicus was a person that would personally get involved to make a plan work. And even with this one has to be very, very discerning. Because, you know, there are times when you can be the most approachable person and everything else and wonderful. But one is going to be discerning. Because you get the fat sheep and the lean sheep. And so one has got to work through the various dichotomies there. I drove into the church the other day and I noticed a man walking ahead of his wife up Earlsfield Drive, just up the road here, from the bottom of the stop street, I just saw them walking, and here's something that you must not do. A husband was walking a few meters ahead of his wife, and his wife is holding a hip like this and walking. You can see she is struggling. She's struggling to walk up the hill, but he's ahead of her. Okay? What he should be doing? He should be next to her, just helping her, walking along and helping her. Maybe saying, just lean on me and walk with me. But he was walking like a few meters ahead. How many of you do that in shopping malls and stuff like that? Walk ahead of your wife or something like that. No. Come on, walk faster, man. You know, and you leave your wife and she's trailing behind you. And I could see they were not healthy. So I drove into the driveway, parked off. And by then, as I was busy in my car, the man approaches me, comes to my window, and he asks me a question. And he says, "Is this the church that dispenses tablets?" I said, "Whoa." So why would a church dispense tablets, you know? But anyway, I knew that there was a church in Hillgrove. It was brought to my attention that there was a church in Hillgrove that connected with our clinic here, where they opened up the church and people can go there and collect the tablets, making it easier for people. So I got off the car. By then, his wife was at the driveway gate. He was by my car, and I'm giving him directions on how to get there. I'm saying, "No, you got to go. You're in the wrong place. There's a church in Hillgrove," and I'm giving him directions. And suddenly, it just struck me. I said, "Nah, man. Here's a couple. They're going to walk all the way from here now, all the way up the hill, Hillgrove, past Hillgrove School, right to the bottom." I said, "Call your wife. Let me take you." Now, I had several things to do, okay? And in my mind, all those things were racing. I said, "No, come, let me take you there." It wouldn't take me more than 5 minutes to drop you off there. Put them in my car. Sure, I got 1,000 thank yous. I took them, dropped them off there, and left them. And they were a Hindu couple. That's being a Christian. Okay? I didn't have to share the gospel with them. Just by the fact that I did that will speak volumes. You understand what I'm saying? Now, friends, Tychicus was a great man. He was the second thing that I want to say, he was not only a great and wonderful person, a dear brother and a faithful servant, but he was a trustworthy man and an encourager. And I'm going to close just now. It's one thing to go to a man, but it's another matter altogether to be a trustworthy man. See, you can have a go-to man, but it's another thing to have a trustworthy man. You know, trust is earned over a period of time. You can't demand respect and trust from a person. It's got to be earned over a period of time. It is sad when the church is labeled as Christians who are untrustworthy. The question is our speech consistent with our behavior? And this is where the wheels come off for many. They are eager to do a whole lot of things, but their speech in terms of truthfulness does not match with their behavior. What do I mean by this? How many of us legitimately say, "I love Jesus," yet by their actions they deny him? The story of Peter is a good example, isn't it? Here was a disciple of Jesus who spoke up and would say anything that came to his mind and lips. And he even said to Jesus, "Lord, I will die for you." But when the real test came, Peter was the first to deny the Lord. And he did it 3 times. Who would think that a man who was ready to kill for Jesus on the occasion, on one occasion, would become a mouse on another. That is why in John 21, Jesus reinstates Peter by asking him three times, "Do you love me?" Three times Jesus asked him the question. And Peter was actually annoyed by Jesus asking him three times, "Do you love me?" And each time Jesus said, when he answered, "Yes, Lord," he said, "Feed my lambs." Notice? And then he said, "Take care of my sheep." And the last one he said, "Feed my sheep." There's three distinctions there. It's not a repetition of the same thing. There, if you examine that carefully, I wish I had time to do another exposition on those three words, on those three statements. But that's for another time. "Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." Peter was never the same again. He repented and was restored. What about you? Friends, how many episodes must it take in your life to follow Jesus wholeheartedly? Come what may, am I prepared to be that trustworthy servant that Jesus can rely on? Tychicus was. And he went on to be an encourager as well. Now, lastly, you will see in verses 23 and 24, and I'll close with this. He says there, "Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love." It's no wonder that Paul could end with these words, peace, faith, and love. Only when a person has been justified by faith, he has peace with God through our Lord Jesus. There are millions of people out in the world today who have no peace. And they have everything money can buy. Yesterday, I bumped into somebody who is almost, one can call him a millionaire's son. They have everything money can buy. Everything. This young man was given ample opportunity to study. But what did he do? He was like the prodigal son. He wasted his time and money on booze and clubs and drugs. You know, when I met him yesterday, he said to me, "Hello, uncle." I said, "Hello." And he was chatting. He drove past a church and he says, "I don't know what made me stop and go to that church." And as he got into the church, the welcomer got there immediately made me feel that I belong here. And he has given his life to Jesus just by that sudden urge of saying, "Let me go into this church." Came into this church through that love and support and everybody else surrounding him. He gave his life to Jesus. He comes from a Hindu background. He stopped his drugs. And he's serving the Lord. So I said to him, "Where are you fellowshipping?" He's in Newlands. And he says, he gave me a church which I will not name. And he says, "Where are you, Pastor?" I said, "No, I'm here in Earlsfield." He said, "No, I'll come and visit because I'm building a house here in Newlands. We like millionaires in this church. So that they can use their money for missionaries and building the kingdom of God. Not so that the pastor can have a BMW or a Mercedes for that matter." Now friends, let's pray more seriously. Let's pray together. Our Father, we have heard your word about partnershiping in the gospel. As a member of God's church, we are called to be gospel partners. And as a gospel partner, God calls each one of us to be transparent and supportive to one another. Oh God, how I pray for Christ Church Newlands and indeed the Church of Jesus Christ. I pray that we will be like Tychicus, who has been regarded as a man who could be dependent upon. He was a faithful servant. Lord, he was not only a faithful servant, but he was a trustworthy man and an encourager. And Lord, I pray that that will be a character trait in each one of us, including myself, including the leadership of this church, that we will be people that we can depend on, people that we can call at a moment's notice, and they will not hesitate to do the work of ministry, whatever it is. Oh God Almighty, give us a heart such as this, that we will do the work of the ministry so that your kingdom can grow. We commend ourselves to you, and we pray for every single ministry worker, every single member, every single couple, and every single family in this church, that they will grow to love you and serve you and be the kind of person that Paul spoke about in terms of Tychicus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.